Welcome back to Season 5 of the Read Connected podcast. When we go through the hardest times in life, how do we get some space to psychologically and emotionally recover? When we're faced with a reality that shocks our system and shakes the very foundation of our lives, how do we cope? How do we regain a sense of peace, of joy, of connection? As we often say on this podcast, there is rarely one thing that will help every single person. It's very nuanced, individualized, contextual, and oftentimes a process that unfolds over time. In this episode, we're going to be joined by Tim O'Connell, who founded Tommy's Place on Cape Cod, Massachusetts. This organization is a beacon of light for families going through immense pain in the case of children undergoing cancer treatment. Tommy's Place Foundation, Incorporated, aka Tommy's Place, is a Massachusetts-based nonprofit corporation for kids fighting cancer in Falmouth, Massachusetts, and Centerville, Massachusetts on Cape Cod. One family at a time, along with their extended family and friends, visits one of their two 10-plus bedroom homes for 1 week, free of charge, a dream vacation to relax, make memories, and most importantly, have fun. Tommy's Place is open to kids aged 3 through 17, actively engaged in treatment and living permanently and full-time in New England. Tommy's Place serves 104 families per year at their two magical vacation homes on Cape Cod in Falmouth and Centerville. Tommy's Place receives guest referrals from 10 major childhood cancer hospitals throughout New England. The first Tommy's Place house in Falmouth officially opened to guests in July of 2021 and has been at 100% occupancy ever since. We are so happy to have Tim O'Connell, the founder of Tommy's Place, here with us today in Boston, Massachusetts, and we are just thrilled to be able to shine a light on what good you're doing for these families and these children. And we're really grateful that you're here with us. I know you don't do many interviews or really want to be in the public eye. And, you know, we respect your humility and your grace that you really want to give to these families. And we hope that you as a model, as a role model, can exemplify, you know, what we can do in the community to help people when a lot of times we can feel things are out of control or life is out of control, that maybe human to human, person to person, we can try to make a difference for each other. So thank you, Tim, for joining us.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So, Alexis, you know, where should we start with this interview? There's so much ground to cover in terms of what they're doing for the families, but we also want to get to know Tim, you know, as an individual, because, you know, good things can happen from an individual. Good things can happen from a good heart, from a good place. And, you know, where do you think we should start?
You know, it's so interesting. I think about this all the time. I'm currently teaching a child growth and development class at Merrimack College, and you know, I'm working with the students to help them understand how there's so many different impacts that children can have on their lives. And this is, like, for families and for individuals, sometimes something that feels so catastrophic, that is sometimes so unpredictable, that happens. And like Jerry said in an introduction, it really shakes up their lives. And I have so many questions for you, but I want to start with this idea of, you know, going back to the reason why you started this organization and how we got to this place that you're able to touch and support the lives of so many going through this really difficult time in their lives.
Yeah, so I was always a giving type of person, kind of behind the scenes. So everything was always done anonymously with me. And I was giving to different organizations, and it was always around that giving season, which drives me crazy, which is November and December when everybody gives. And I was always like, there's, you know, there's another 10 months.
It's like Valentine's Day. We can love all the time.
Yes, right?
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, so I said, you know, like what happened with the beginnings of Tommy's Place, it was interesting. Just this week, I was thinking about something else that somebody, some kindness that someone else showed me, and I didn't even realize that was maybe something that triggered me a little bit too. But somebody randomly asked me, I was over in Martha's Vineyard of all places, and didn't have a place to stay, was just over there hanging out with a friend of mine, and you know, I met this guy, and he was like, so where are you guys staying? And I'm like, don't really have a place to stay, you know? And he's like, you don't? I'm like, no, you just came over and I have no place to stay. And I said, yeah. He says, well, you can stay at my house, right? Aww. And I thought that was like, this guy's talking to strangers, basically, you know? And he let us stay in his house. And wow. I was like, geez, you know, that's pretty cool of someone to do that with a stranger. And then fast forward a little bit further, I eventually bought a house on Martha's Vineyard, and it randomly I would rent out the house, and you know, here and there I would let people use it and things like that. And at the last minute, somebody canceled out a week on me, and rather than give it to my family and friends, something made me drive. It was a hot August day, and I remember, and I drove into the floating hospital in Boston, and something just made me go in there, and I hate the hospital, like, but I had some familiarity trying to help people out during Christmas time. So I went in there, and I made up this little flyer, and I had my picture of my house on there, and I said, do you think someone in here might want to use this house? And they were like, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah, I know where I am, you know, because they're an inner city hospital. And this was a house that at the time it was renting out for $18,000 a week.
Wow.
You know, and I said, yeah, I know, you know. So they ended up finding a family. They called me on my way home. It's like, we found a family. And I said, all right, well, let them know they can bring their family and friends. And there's six or seven bedrooms in there, and they can just load it up, and it's 100% free. But before I left, the last thing I said was, this is 100% anonymous. I don't want my name involved with anything here. I just want them to go over there and have some fun. That's it, you know? And it ended up being a family from Lynn, and they had four kids, and their youngest was he was an 8-year-old boy. His name was Griffin. And he was the one that was fighting at the time. And I was amazed, by, you know, this family. Like, I just found out some things from them, like, after the fact. But they stayed there, and we took care of meals, took care of their transportation, just everything, you know, but all done behind the scenes. It was just like, and then they left, and then my life went on, so I thought, you know. So I'm like, the next person came in, and we, you know, continued on with the cleaning people, and da-da-da, and then they come in, and then it was 2 weeks later, I would say, that the hospital called me again, and they said the family that stayed left letters and photos here at the hospital, and they want you to have them. I'm like, really? Like, your family and friends don't leave you photos and letters, you know, when they leave. You're like, they're more or less going to complain about something that is going on in the house.
So, how much the meals are on island.
Yeah, or... this is too expensive to go there, you know. It's like, yeah, everything we know. So, I read these letters, and they were addressed to Mr. Anonymous, and one was from the mom, and she was talking about her son and how grateful she was. She said it was the first time I've seen him smile in so long.
Oh,
and
my God.
It was amazing, and she was so grateful. And then there was a second letter from the grandmother about her daughter, the little boy's mom. And she was writing the same things. My daughter hasn't smiled in so long. You have no idea what you did for our family. And then I saw this stack of photos, and I was like, oh, look at all these people that are having fun, you know. They're in this tragic situation, but there was smiles going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, the last thing that the mom said in the letter was, I hope to do the same for another family someday. That was just emblazoned in my head, and I'm like, this lady is going through all this stuff, and she's thinking about other people, how she can help them. And I said, wow. So I said, wow, if those people are that grateful, there must be hundreds of families out there that would appreciate this opportunity. So that's kind of what sparked me. I said, well, these people are grateful and they're appreciative, which I think are two of the biggest words that we have in our language, you know, and then a lot of people don't really get it, I don't think. So if we have something, to me, we should just give it. You know, like, why can't we just give it all the time? And that's, I wish I had so much more, because I would give so much more if I could. It's just, it's a natural thing. It's kind of a sickness that you have, I think, sometimes, too. But it's not a bad one, you know.
Yeah.
It can be harmful. Yeah, so that was in my head. And I said, you know, one day I want to make this place that's this magical place. It's open year-round, and kids are just going to be able to come in here and have fun. Because what happens on January 2nd? What happens on December 26th? What happens after Thanksgiving? What, you know, like, kids are sick every day, 24/7, 365. They're sick. Mm-hmm. There's not like there's a day off. So I wanted to make sure that the place would be a destination, that they could come there and just no matter what time of year it was, they could get out of their situation. Even if they lived across the street, it wasn't their environment they were in. Get them away from doctor's office and hospitals and things like that. So anyway, that was in my head, and over the years I let other people stay in my house, but it, to me, was never enough. And I started looking at properties, but it never makes sense. You could never in a million years make sense out of, like, oh, I want to make this thing. It's free. It's like, you know, you need a piece of real estate that's big, and then you got to make it free. And how does this work? It's so. One day I was I had been kicking tires at this one property in Falmouth forever. And I knew the place like the back of my hand, and I would call the broker up all the time, and I would watch every time I went under agreement, and then the deal would fall apart, and I'd be like, yes. So I'm like, so I hadn't heard for a little while, and I saw this one guy was getting serious, and he was going through these different boards and all this other stuff. But then I didn't hear anything, so I called, and she's like, Tim, you know where the key is? Every time I would go into this house, it would get 10 times worse than it was before. The water was pouring through the ceilings, and it was just terrible. But I was driving in my car, and I said, wouldn't this be a shame if I just kept this to myself, and I never told anybody? And, you know, there's never going to be a good time, and for it, it's never going to make sense. So I literally said to myself, if not me, who, and if not now, when? And I drove to the Cape, and I ended up sitting with the seller and the broker, and that was an interesting conversation, because he was looking to get rich. Every developer that came in there was going to make,
especially on the Cape.
They're going to make them rich. They're going to tear down this whole property, and they're going to build condos, and everybody's going to get rich, you know. And I went in with a different approach. Like, I love your property as much as it's falling apart. And I said, I promise you that this place will look the same as it did years ago. And you could come here in 50 years, it's going to still look the same as it does now. I'm just going to fix it up.
Wow.
And I want to, you know, and then I told him what my idea was. And then I slid my little yellow piece of paper across the table.
It's something for a movie.
Yeah. So it was like, he was originally asking like 1-2R, and I think when I was there that day, it was probably 800,000. And my number, you know, he was so excited what I was doing.
Yeah.
Until he saw my little piece of paper. And I saw his face, and I'm like, is something wrong?
Let me tell you again what I'm doing.
And he said, he's like, that number. And I said, it's okay. What would you, and I wrote 475. That's how much it was off for what he originally was. But I promised him, I said, I'm not going to torture you. I promise you. I just need a little time. And I asked for 4 months, and I should have asked for 6 months, because I thought it was like just an easy thing. But anyway, he said, I said, well, what would make you happy, you know? And he said, it would be nice if it had a 5 in front of it. So I pulled it back, and I crossed it out, and I wrote 500, and I pushed it back, and he put his hand out.
Oh, wow.
And that was it, you know. And I said, I promise you that I will close on this property in 4 months. So I thought, all I have to do is go on GoFundMe.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. You know, kids with cancer, like, who doesn't want to give to that? Like, and it's a vacation home for kids that are fighting cancer. Like, hello, that's easy.
Yeah.
All these other things that people do, and they raise hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars and all that. So to this day, I think the campaign is still up. I really never took it down. But to this day, we've never hit 100,000.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so I was like, it was getting down to crunch time, less than a month away, and I ended up, I built houses, and that's what I was a developer and things like that, and I had built some houses for a family, and I went over and asked them. I called them up and I said, hey, can I come up and see you? And they're like, is something wrong? And I said, no, because I'd never been near where they live or anything like that. And I drove up and saw them, told them about my my awesome idea.
Yeah.
You know, to me it was awesome. But
yeah.
But anyway, they said we like it, whatever. We're going to talk to our family and we'll call you back. So I drove home and I don't know where this is going. And I got to close on this property in a few weeks. And
yeah. They
called me back and they said, you know, we like what you're doing. And I told them, I said, I have no money. I can't give you a down payment and I can't pay you monthly, but I promise you that I'll pay you back. That's all I went on.
Yeah.
And you can't go to the bank with this program. But anyway, they ended up saying yes. And they gave me this loan. And that was the beginning of it in 2018. But it took 3 very long years to open those doors from 2018 to 2021. Lots of staring up at the ceiling going like, how's this going to work? Because it just doesn't work. I didn't know anybody down in Falmouth. Even though I grew up in Falmouth and North Falmouth area, I didn't really know anybody. Mm. And I literally had to go and meet people one at a time. It's just like coming here and seeing you guys today. Maybe somebody gets something out of this today and maybe it resonates with them and maybe it doesn't. But that's literally how I do it. I'm always trying to connect dots with people. And if it means something to you, it means something to me. And hopefully, you know, we can do something. And lots of times you might not be able to write a check, but you know somebody else that might be able to do something on their end. But that's really the beginning of it. And there was a lot of stuff in those 3 years that a lot of painful things going on in there. But like we were talking previously, you know, even during the pandemic, it changed a lot of people, I think, for the good. So anyway, that's a real cliff note version of kind of how it started that way.
That's incredible. Yeah. And I'll speak for myself, but I'm a big proponent of when you do good with the right intentions in the right way, with the right process, the right things usually come, right? It doesn't always happen that way.
No.
But, you know, your persistence, your motivation behind this is amazing. I didn't know this part of the story. I'm so glad you shared it. Thank you.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, the one of the very first people that I met, I went and met some people on a board, and one of the guys grabbed me, and he says, hey, I'm going to introduce it to so-and-so.
Yeah.
And this guy that brought me, so he sits down there like my biggest cheerleader. I didn't even have to say a word. I only met this guy once.
Wow.
And so he says to the guy after he's all done, he goes, so what do you think? And he goes, that'll never work.
What do you think he meant by work? Because that's an interesting, you know, word.
I think his biggest thing was there's so many people vying, you know, for everybody's attention and everybody's dollars and things like that, that's not going to work. You just, he's looking at it from a financial perspective,
right?
And he's saying, that's not a viable business, you know, and okay. And then, you know, the second guy I went and told the same thing to was like, and he said the same exact words to me. Hmm. Two people, my first two people. And I was like, okay, you're the wrong people, you know. I didn't change one thing.
Wow.
And I said, I'm not listening to them and saying everything that I'm doing is wrong. I mean, I'm going to find people that say that that they like it.
Yeah.
You know? And I never veered off of my path of I believe this, and I believe that there's other people out there that believe this too.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's interesting because I think from a business perspective, it probably doesn't work. You're not making any money. That's not the point.
Yeah. It makes really no sense. You can't go to the bank with it.
Yeah.
You can, you know, the things that have happened organically, and
yeah.
I think some of the things that we might want to talk about is just the way people are. You can't say that all these people are going to come out and want to donate things, and then there's going to be the people that are going to write these big checks, and then you're going to see what's next. Just all these people are going to volunteer, and then all these people are going to hold all these events. Can you imagine this writing this down? Someone go, this guy's really whacked, you know? Like it just doesn't work like that, and. You normally as a real estate developer, I go, here's my plan. I go into the bank. I need your money, and then this is how I'm going to pay you back.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that, well, I'm going to pay them back first, and then I'm going to build the house. It just didn't work like that. But, you know, the pandemic came along and people's attention went everywhere else but there. But once everybody knew that they were still alive and feeling good, then it's like, I think things changed, which ended up helping us. But yeah, it's, I just have this mindset that, like, if I want something, I'm going to go for it, and I'm getting it, and that's it. You know, like, I'm not going to fail. You know, if I fail, like, I'm going to really try really hard before there's the F word.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's this quote. Actually, our cousin is on tour as a musician, and he was in Europe, and there was, like, a quote on a bathroom stall. I think he posted something that said, like, fail well and try again.
Yeah. That means you're not trying if you don't fail, right? Like,
yeah.
You have to try.
Yeah.
You know?
This is, like, one of the most inspirational stories I've ever heard.
Well, Tim, can I ask you this question about just, like, the process that you went through? Because, you know, however people help other people, and maybe this can inspire people just to find unique ways to help. Because at the end of the day, we're human species, and we live in communities, and we can support each other in a lot of different ways. And hopefully, you know, there's different ways to do it. You're one example. But when you had a vision for this, and you're going through these ups and downs of trying to actualize your vision, could you, like, see it in your mind? You know, when you're looking up at the ceiling, as you said, night after night, like, could you see what you were hoping would happen? And
oh, yes.
Yeah.
So that's one of the biggest things, even when I was building. I would go so fast because I couldn't wait to get to the creative part of finishing those. The whole process to get there was like, just let me get there because I already see it and it's already done. I just got to just finish it now. And this particular thing, I literally walk into this house and it's like the stuff's caving in all around it. But I'm like, oh, this could go over here and this could go over there and that can go over there and I'm going to move this over here. But at the end of the day, I'm going to preserve a lot of this stuff because it's really about getting the family together down on the first floor, really what it was about. And it's about the backyard. And it's like I already knew what it was going to be. And that's what was very tough for me because normally I can just go right at it. And this, I had to wait. And if you ever told me it was going to take me 3 years, I was never on a job site literally. For the most I was ever on a job site was just under 4 months.
Wow.
So I was like, oof, this is a long... Like someone said, hey, it's going to take you 3 years. And I would have said, no, I'm not going to do that. It's going to take 3 years.
And when
it's
taking 3 years, you don't even know if it's going to take more years than that because your mind can assume it's going to be worse. Yeah,
yeah. So what ended up happening was over 2 years in now and pandemic's here and... I start scratching my head. You know, because I always believed that if I put this word out there that people are going to help me. Mm-hmm. I just believed it so strongly that people are going to want to donate whatever it is that's all coming, you know, one way or another. And, you know, because it was 2 years in and I'm like...
I can imagine.
I called people in the vineyard that had done work for me and I'm like, are you guys doing anything right now? And they said, we have a little break. So I'm like, can you come over and help? And I had to pay them for their help. They gave me a break off of their labor or whatever, but they literally went back and forth on the boat every day. And I've asked this woman that I met in the board meeting. She had a hotel. I'm like, is there any way some of these guys can stay there? This is the beginning of me asking something because I didn't want to ask anybody anything. And she let some of the guys stay there, and it just... It you know, just one thing led to another, and that whole thing just kind of snowballs from there in a way that it's mind blowing, really. And it's really like it's really one person going to the next person, talking to the next person. Mm-hmm. I had no experience in this field of fundraising or the nonprofit world. I was like struggling to do a nonprofit. I didn't want to be doing a nonprofit because it's a lot of work being in the nonprofit world. And finally, like, I realized about 5 or 6 months in that it's like, you have to be in that world, you know? Mm-hmm. So, it's staring at that ceiling was, is really helpful. And I just said, I'm just going for it. That was my one last chance because I knew it was over. I was out of money. And I'm like, I have to just go for it. And these guys came in, we ripped the house apart and just got the shell ready. And I had been bringing people in there because they would find out about it.
Yeah.
And they would just get horrified. And lots of these wives, the women are amazing, right? Because they would go and they get so excited, and then they bring their husband. So I'm like, but I started posting stuff on Facebook of the work we were doing, and next thing you know, like one guy came walking down the street, and it's pouring rain out, and he handed me this envelope, and I was outside standing on this mound of dirt, and we were digging up stuff, and I just said, he's like, I like what you're doing, and I just put it in my pocket because it's pouring rain out, and then I drove all the way back to Quincy, and then I opened it up because it was wet, and I'm like, there's a check for $25,000.
Wow.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh my God, like, and then from there it was like, I swear every time that it started to rain out, it was $25,000, it was $50,000, it was $100,000. And then people would even be on Facebook and they'd be like, Tim, it's raining.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's let it rain some more.
And the rain is never, you know, like, you know, in my world, the rain always was a problem. And that flipped. The rain became a good thing. And, you know, it continues to this day that good things are happening when it's raining out. So, yeah, so that, you know, that it was really frustrating for me to stand there for all that time knowing what this was going to be. And the people helping, they didn't know. They were just listening to me. They had no clue. They were helping me build the place, and they were donating money. They didn't know. They had no idea what they were doing. Mm. And I know that, and that's what I'm so grateful that they gave anyways.
Mm.
Because now they, you know, and that's one of the reasons that I post things publicly is because, hey, look what you did.
Mm.
Not me. Look what you did,
yeah.
You know, because you're the one that makes this happen. You know, you gave a dollar, you know, that helps us turn the light on, you know. So it's like,
yeah.
If you didn't step up in some way, you know, this doesn't happen, you know. And that's what's been incredible for me, just to watch people and watch their excitement and listen to their stories of why they want to help. There was lots of people that came forward just because they were they had good things going on in their life.
Mm.
Their kids were healthy,
mm.
You know. Mm. Many more came forward that lost people, you know, and I find most of these, that we have amazing stories of volunteers that are in our house right now that come like every Sunday and help us clean, and there's so much tragedy.
Mm.
And they're in there helping us every week. And I can, I mean, I know how many of them, I just hear these little stories. It's like, I lost my son, mm. I lost my daughter, I lost, you know, somebody, you know, and they're there because of tragedy. But it makes them feel good to be able to help, because yeah. Now they see, you know, on when I post something, then like, they see it, you know. None of us knows what goes on inside those doors.
Mm.
I, you know, really strict that nobody goes in there while people are on vacation. And, you know, we greet them and they go for a tour and we close the door and boom, that's your place. And now you do vacation how you want to do vacation. Yeah. No one's getting in your way.
Mm.
There's no restrictions on anything you do when you're in there. And, you know, this is a dream that I had, but at the same time, how do I know that somebody else is going to think that it's cool or think that this is fun or want to do it.
Mm.
And, you know, the very first family that actually stayed over, it was like the second night in, and the mom texts me and she's like, Tim, I hope you're going to keep this place open year-round because my kids won't leave the house.
Oh.
That's July of 21.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, and it's 85 degrees out, and she couldn't get her kids to go outside.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
So that's become a normal occurrence in why people are coming to the Cape Cod in December, January, February, March, you know, when Cape Cod's July and August, you know, or, you know, you got those shoulder seasons, but, you know, it's become a destination. You have no clue that, I had no clue. That's why I always thank people that come there. They're like, yeah. Why are you thanking us? I'm like, I'm grateful that you came.
Yeah.
You didn't have to come here.
Yeah.
You know, you really didn't. And so I'm grateful every single week that somebody comes there. Especially now, you know, it's November, it's December, it's going to get cold, it can be snowing up, but we've literally never had a week vacant there, and I think we're probably up to 250 straight families right now between the two houses.
Unbelievable.
So, yeah, and you don't know, and it's, I was thinking about that when I was driving here today, and I was like, that's a lot, there's been a lot going on. You know, but I get these nice notes from a family. I posted one today that was just, it epitomizes what I dreamt of, and I wrote that because I always thought that even if you live directly across the street from there, that when you came through this door, you left your environment, you've left the doctor's office, and you've left the hospital, and you've left all your misery, and you get to be in here with your friends and your family, and you're just here to have fun. That's it. That's it. Mm-hmm. And it's become a family thing, and people say to me, it's like 10, 11 bedrooms, like, why do you need a place that big? And I said, well, there's a lot of people, to me, I just thought that families would want to give back to people that are helping them through this. They could never in their entire life pay anybody back for all the things that people do for them. And I find that that's what's happening. It was just a guess. And sometimes people have invited their whole street, you know, not necessarily their family, because it's their street that's been there for them, you know.
Their neighbors.
Yeah, and you don't have to invite, you know, Uncle so-and-so. And there's no parameters, you can invite whoever you want. So it's not like a holiday where you feel obligated to invite this person. No, Tommy's Place is not about that. Tommy's Place is about surrounding yourself with your nucleus and your support system, everybody that's there. And, you know, some of them just invite just all the kids' friends, you know.
Yeah.
But the real thing is, you know, in what happened to me in the beginning, the first few weeks, I'm crying as the family's coming in, and then I'm seeing them going out, and I'm crying on the way out. And I remember sitting in my car one day, driving home, and I'm crying. I'm like, what? I just waited 14 years for this?
To cry.
Yeah, because I was like, I always did everything anonymously. So next thing you know, I'm connected to this situation. And, you know, there were happy tears coming in, and most of the time I was like watching their kids, like, oh my God, running around and being screaming and yelling and being happy.
Oh, my God.
So they're watching other family members that they couldn't give back to during this whole thing, because kids get neglected and it's not on purpose. And so I learned over time to start embracing that, and it's gotten way better for me. So it's totally good now. But it was hard in the beginning. Like, this is crazy. Like, oh my God, this is what I waited for, because you have no idea, like, how it's going to impact you. And it, you know, it's but now it's all good. It's just it's great to read these stories of what it means to families. And you know, the family that just wrote the thing that I posted today was from the Cape. And I remember there's a family from the Cape, and they said, we already live on the Cape. I'm like, oh my God, they don't get it. They don't get it. You know.
Yeah.
And I finally it was a good thing, but they wanted to give back, and they ended up giving back. And this young girl was fighting at the time, but then she got better. Mm. So when she was giving back to us, I said, hey, you guys got to come and see the house. Before it was even open, you know, it was a new one in Centerville. And she came in, and I was like, and I saw her face. She's looking around. And I'm like, I tried to tell you, you know, but I said, now you're not allowed to come because you're good. You know, so that's been good. But yeah, it's really those multiple bedrooms allow for, we sleep up to 18 people a night, and we encourage them to fill the bedrooms. And there'll be lots of times, it's funny, they'll come there on a Sunday because they're not really paying attention. There's so much stuff going on in their life. And next thing you know, somebody will be drifting off, and they're on their phone, and they're calling. They're like, hey, you got to come here. You know, I'm like, they're like, can we fill these bedrooms? I'm like, yeah, yes, please fill the bedrooms.
Yeah.
And people are so respectful. It's unbelievable. The houses are in tremendous shape. Even, you know, a normal house on the Cape gets beat up after 7 or 8 weeks during the summer. And we're 52 weeks with 18 people a night and allowed, you know, and the houses are in beautiful shape. Like, they're brand new. And it's a tribute to the people that come there, and it's a tribute to the people that help us all the time maintain it. And people take pride in that part of it, being able to help and make this experience possible for these families. And they get to see it. I watch some of the people that help us, and I see them commenting and things like that. So it's fun, you know. It's like, look what I did. And there's lots of people. It's like, hey, look, we make that possible, you know, for that family. So it's pretty amazing to watch and listen and you know, to watch a dream. And I wrote that today. It's like I'm watching a dream come true in real time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, lots of times you can dream about things and, you know, like Walt Disney, I would always post quotes about Walt Disney because it was always talking about dreams, you know, and it's like, and Walt Disney actually stayed in the house that we have in Centerville, believe it or not.
No way.
Someone told me that after I bought it, but yeah.
Wow. So,
yeah, so this is magic. Things happen.
Yeah.
What a coincidence.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, you know, and we have a Disney room there that I made had nothing to do with knowing that he stayed in the house. You know?
Yeah.
And Mickey and Minnie greet everybody when they come in.
Oh, my gosh.
And I find out this after. It's like, did you know this? I'm like, no, I didn't know, you know. So it's like.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that was meant to be.
Yeah. So I'm very grateful for, you know, everybody that continues to come forward. And there's like a million ways that you can help. I always tell people, like, and you guys know, people say, I don't have money. And I'm like, well, you have money so you can help people. It's like, you can help people anytime you want. Just smile at somebody.
Mm.
Say hi. It's free. You know, it's free for you to tell somebody else, hey, I can't help, but you might be able to help them over there. And, you know, and maybe that story resonates with somebody else. And all you did was make a free introduction to somebody, you know. Mm-hmm. And now you just made a great assist, you know. Mm-hmm. So, fortunately, that's been going on now since, and it's odd to say it, that to think about it, it's 2018, so it's going to be going on 7 years that I've been doing this with the house open in July of 21.
Wow.
So it's already been a long time. It's hard to believe, but still grateful every day, you know.
Well, I'm grateful you asked for help because that's sometimes the hardest thing to do, especially when you have this vision that maybe not everybody's connected to or understands.
I realized at one point, I said, I was trying to, first I needed to get Tommy Leonard's, I wanted to name the place after Tommy Leonard down the Cape, right?
That was the other thing I was going to say too, is that it's not called Tim's Place,
no.
Right? Like the humility is real.
I'm hiding, like, you're kidding me. Like I want, like coming here is like a big thing for me. Like I don't. It's not about me, and it never will be about me, because people, they call me Tommy all the time.
Yeah.
Like, no, I would never name something after myself. But I was like, Tommy, first I asked Griffin's mom, who I never met. 14 years later, the very first time I met her, she came and helped me and bring the first family into the house.
Aww.
14 years later, the family came. So it was all, like, it was just amazing for that stuff. But just to every day something good happens. I tell people, like in the real estate world, you wake up and you know it's going to be a bad day most of the time,
because
there's always people fighting about something. You know,
you could always predict that something maybe not so great might
something's going to
emerge.
Go wrong.
Maybe,
yeah. And then in this world, I tell people, I wake up every day knowing it's going to be a good day.
Yeah.
I know something good's going to happen, you know. So that's a whole different, it's a whole different mindset that you're used to. And you become more relaxed and you get let down, like any time, but it's a different let down. You get let down by people that you would expect something else out of. But then I realized, okay. It just because I found that the people that give the most are the ones that kind of have the least. And I had people coming forward to me giving lots of money that didn't have any money.
Wow.
Yeah, and the people that had a lot of money that you'd know, it's like, oh, call this one.
Not always.
No.
Well, it's interesting. I think we have the mentality to make that choice of like, am I going to wake up and, you know, take on a good day? Right? How is my mindset going to be?
Yeah.
Or am I going to focus on the stuff that's going to inevitably come up that could paint the world and the experience negatively? And it's so beautiful to hear that, like, you actually can expect, because of all that you've given and what you've done to establish Tommy's Place to give back to these families, like, you know that there's going to be something good that comes from it.
Yeah.
Because of what you've established and how you've set up this, like, ongoing, yeah, amazing organization to be able to, like, bring some joy to individuals who are just really in it and maybe don't take those moments and opportunities to find the joy in their world.
Yeah, I think...
because of their circumstances.
Yeah, course. There's always something going on that we could always focus on, something negative, any day we wake up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's probably more difficult to focus on the positive part because it's like you got this thing nagging at you somewhere, mm-hmm, else, you know. But I think we all have the ability to look past that. But there's a lot of people that can't.
Yeah.
You know, and no matter how good they have it, they can't see it. And that's you know, that's frustrating.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, yeah, you could do this or you could do that, but they couldn't see that in 5 million years.
Well, first of all, just to validate everything you're saying, we're so appreciative that you're sharing all this about yourself and about the process, and I hope it inspires people. And I love how you're giving the families the autonomy to have fun in their own way. I think that's really respectful of you,
yeah,
to not kind of force how they should have fun.
Yeah.
I really like that part of it.
Yeah, I just think that everybody has their own ideas of what they think a vacation is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So lots of people want to give different things to us, and I have to tell them that we're 100% hands-off when someone's in the house. Mm-hmm. And unless we can get 52 of something from someone,
mm-hmm,
then we don't accept it. Because I don't want you coming in there and saying, hey, we got the free plane ride.
Mm-hmm.
So if the guy with the plane calls me, mm-hmm, I said, can you do that 52 times?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some people will step up. I had somebody offer us some iPads.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, this is tough, you know, because it's another nonprofit. And I just said, well, I can't give one iPad away to somebody. I can't give five away to somebody because then the sixth person's going to come in here and say, where's my iPad?
Yeah.
She's like, okay, let me call you back. And she calls me back the next day. And she's like, what's the address that I can ship these to?
Oh.
And I'm like, I don't want 52 iPads. So she, wow, she sent me this little envelope that we surprised the family with, and we would give away the iPads, you know. So,
wow,
like, that's the tough part because the one-offs are nice, but the one-offs aren't going to help Tommy's Place be a sustainable operation, you know, and we can't pay NSTAR or National Grid or Eversource, whoever it is, with donuts and ice cream cones and things like that,
yeah,
you know, so yeah. It's like I have these tough conversations with people all the time, and I have to come out and I tell people, I said, look, I'm going to have to get uncomfortable right here and just tell you, because somebody wants to give us 52 of something.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you can give us 52 of something, but we also need a financial donation to go along with it.
Yeah.
They're like, we're going to give you something that's worth $15,000. And I said, well, that really doesn't help us.
Yeah.
Right. You already have a system for helping these families.
Yeah. So I said, I won't be able to give that to somebody at the door if nobody's at the door next Sunday because we weren't able to pay our bills.
Yeah.
So I said, we'll take that, but if you guys could give us a contribution, that now we have a win-win all around for everybody. You know,
yeah,
the family's coming in, you're helping Tommy's Place, and the families can come to visit you guys and whatever it is, you know. So when someone's telling you, hey, that'll never work, you know, there's a reason. It's a business, and, you know, at the end of the day, it's a business, and it has to be run like a business.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, everybody that volunteers for us, and we have some strong volunteer members that are in the houses now, and they see it. I was in Centerville. I was hoping that I could transition between places with, you know, within a few months, but I was in Centerville for more than a year.
Wow.
Working with our team there, so they understood what Tommy's Place is.
Mm. Yeah.
And what's important to me, because I always say, you know, if I get hit by a bus, like, I want to know that this place is here.
Mm. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
important to me that this place is here, and you guys all understand how it works.
Yeah.
You know, and what's important, when a family walks through that door, our number one goal, and I tell everybody, it's you know, we don't have Julie McCoy there. We don't have a concierge service.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have anything like that. It's we want to make a 5-star hotel experience when they walk through that door, you know. So there's towels on the beds, and everything that they could even think of is in that house. And it's all working, and things are in great shape, and that's mm-hmm. what's important mm-hmm. to me. We're, our business is to make this house nice, so that these people can have a worry-free mm-hmm. vacation.
Yes.
You know, the lights work, the door works, this works, the TV turns on. That stuff is good. The pool's working, the grounds are maintained.
Yeah,
you know, that's us. I tell people. You know, dealing with a $20,000 a week client is easier than dealing with a free client.
Mm.
And they like look at me, and I'm like, I said, because the $20,000 a week client is going to call me 5 minutes after they're in the house.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't work. I don't like this. You said that. These families, when they come in the house, they feel terrible. Something doesn't work, and they don't want to bother you because
yeah.
they're not paying.
Mm.
So we have to be even more vigilant that that we're paying attention to every little thing, because it's tough, because the families just don't want to bother you.
I will say, you probably don't hear this that much, and I know how difficult it is to hold those boundaries and to be able to establish the consistency that you're talking about.
Yes.
But in our work especially, like, that's how we make change, right?
Yeah,
is
yeah.
to actually keep things simple and consistent.
Yes.
Because that builds the opportunity and the flexibility yep. to do more.
Yes.
And I love the way you're describing the process
yeah.
and the way you get others involved.
Yes.
That it's not just like, here's a job to do, here's a task to cross off.
Yeah.
It's like, this is the experience that we're trying to create.
Yes.
So people can escape the realities of what it has been for them to be in the hospital and managing medications and, you know, thinking about all of these really difficult, horrific challenges that
yes.
these families are facing, to be able to keep it simple and to hear the gratitude that's expressed by the families, that they're just happy to be together in a space and a place that feels special
yes.
without them being taxed even more than they already are.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah, originally I wanted to open the house on the vineyard, and then I said, I don't want to put a burden on top of a burden.
Mm.
You know, so a burden is trying to get to the vineyard.
Mm.
I want it to be someone get in their car and drive down for the day, you know. They can, and we have people fly in now from all over the country. It's interesting. I mean, because their family and friends are everywhere, and
yeah.
whoever's supporting them, you know, it doesn't matter. So it's it's interesting how the whole thing continues to evolve. And you were talking about bringing other people in, and these volunteers, and we're not paying people.
Mm-hmm.
They're all volunteers that come in here every Sunday. But you're asking them to act a certain way, you know, and you have high expectations of them, and they get it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they all of a sudden they'll come around to me. It's like, Tim, we already know the answer. And because I say no so many times. And I'm like, families, it's like we're in the yes business, you know. But I'm in the no business lots of times, with things where people want to give you things, or people want to leave things behind, people want to do this. And it's like, no, cause like someone else is going to come in here and no, that doesn't belong there. Like, if anything, we remove things to make things simpler for people mm-hmm. to see and do while they're in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's important that when they're there, they don't even know. They kind of see what's going on, but they don't know what happened to make that happen. You
I was
going to
say, the beauty of the experience is probably overwhelming enough. Like,
yes.
I can't believe I'm here. That
yes.
if there's too many things, it can shut down their system.
Yeah,
and then
clutter
they can't
your mind.
Yeah, yeah, it's very true.
And it's interesting too that you even saying that, because we've had lots of we have kids that come in there that are nonverbal. And getting brought into that space just freaks them out.
Mm.
And But it's interesting, the transition that happens. I mean, we had a kid that came in a few weeks ago, and she just walked in and immediately screaming, crying. And the mom ended up going on the tour by herself, and that was it. And by Sunday, that girl was on cloud nine, you know, like the mom sending me pictures. She was so happy about the things that she found in there that found she finds her space. I remember there was one that I met on a Sunday, and it was the same thing. And the dad told me, she's like, Tim, you know, this, she doesn't speak or anything. And she's, I'm like, oh, I have no idea, because it's people getting out of the car for the first time. I don't know who they are. I don't look. I don't care. You know, like I just, hey, let's come in and you get to stay here and do your thing and whatever. So that little girl was so funny because she was the same way. She got in the first room and then I'm like, okay, she's not going any further than that. Then I show the dad around and then we came back downstairs and then got her over by the arts and crafts room. So funny. I walk in there with her and she turns around, she looks at me and she simply just backs me out of the room and closes the door.
Wow. She's like, I found my space.
This is my space.
This is mine now.
Wow. We've had so many things like that. Yeah, that's like we've had kids swim, you know, for the first time, get up and start, you know, walking and running after a year.
Oh my God.
People that hadn't stood. A girl got up on the trampoline, her mom was telling me, and she sent me a video. She goes, she did a flip, and she goes, she hasn't been able to do that in 2 years or something, you know. So there's lots of miracles happening, and that's, you know, we consider, and I've had this told to me by a doctor at one of our hospitals, and they consider Tommy's place as being part of the healing process for the family. So it's a big deal to them when they refer families to us, because it's like, it's all encompassing. It's like if you're in a certain environment and you could just go downhill, but right now, if you get, you win the Tommy's Place lottery, next thing you know, you have something to look forward to that you had nothing to look forward to, except going in the hospital and being miserable.
And sometimes just that change of space and environment and context, it gives you an opportunity to kind of like do a little bit of a reset. You know, we talk about that all the time with the patients you work with and the clients I work with. Sometimes we just need to step outside of what we do every day to gain a different perspective, and what an experience.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, that, you know, people, as you know, some people have money, some people, lots of the people don't have money, but I find, what I've found is people, like, saying that stepping back, you might think you're all set, but until you get outside of yourself, and maybe, and I've seen it happen, and the people that don't have anything, it's like, okay, they appreciate everything that they get given to them and all that other stuff, but it's the people that I know that think they're all set, that I've seen them change by the end of the week, and they would say to me, it's like, we had no idea how much we needed this.
Oh, my God.
And those are the people that think they're all set.
Yeah.
Because they're financially all set. They're okay. Like in this,
they're in survival mode.
And they can't do anything about their sick kid. As we know, you know, there's no dollar amount that's going to fix your kid. And so every family gets impacted the same exact way. Your kid is sick and there's nothing you can do. But you might think that we're all set, but I've seen that people aren't all set. And especially when they watch their other kids running around and screaming and having fun, that's when they had no idea. Like, and lots of times the focus becomes on the other kid. And some of the older kids, I watch some of the older kids and they'll see their little siblings running around. And I get to see them looking through my eyes. I get to see someone else looking through my eyes at their siblings.
Yeah. Well, this is like developmental psychology in action, right?
Yeah.
Like in life. Because especially when there's an illness in the family, especially when it's a child who's dealing with chronic or severe illnesses, that the other siblings or even the parents' own well-being kind of goes by the wayside.
Yes.
Because the focus goes on that one individual who's really experiencing these tremendous issues that they're going through. And to be able to be in a space where, you know, it's not about being sick.
Yeah.
It's about being together.
Yes.
Is such a tremendous opportunity.
Yeah.
And it just transcends everything else. It's incredible that you're able to create this. And, you know, this is an audio podcast, but there's tons of videos online, too, that tour you through the house, that you hear different children and family stories, which are just so beautiful to listen to. And, you know, there's so much that we could talk about. And Jerry, I know you probably have a couple other questions, but and I also know that, you know, we have to just be mindful of the time as well, that we could talk forever about this. I'm like so intrigued about all of it, and I'm sure we will stay connected for a while after this conversation.
Yeah.
But I am curious to know, because this podcast does have a reach for all different types of people to hear, you know, what are some of the ways people could potentially help and support Tommy's Place to continue on?
Yeah, so getting back to the, you know, the our greatest needs. I always tell people, I start the conversations like, we need funds, you know, like, and there's many ways for people. You don't necessarily have to write a check to us if you have the means, and, you know, that's fine. But we have, all year long, there's people, we haven't had to have one fundraiser in 7 years, you know. So I always encourage someone when they call me and ask that question, how can I help? And I start giving them examples. I said, you know, there's people that do road races, there's people that do bike rides, there's people that do bake sales, there's people that do lemonade stands, because it all adds up. Lemonade stands have, we've raised, you know, probably $150,000 at least out of lemonade stands.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. So I...
That's better than the GoFundMe.
Yeah. I'm telling you, like Rockland.
Kids supporting kids, too.
That's
what
it is. I love it.
Too.
It's the best to watch the kids.
Well, and kids don't really know how to react sometimes when their peer is going through cancer. Mm. And I've seen that, and they can, you know, even feel a lot of guilt about not knowing how to connect or how to support. And what a beautiful example of how to do that. And it actually helps.
I think when they start realizing what's going on, and they're probably told by their parents, you know, what it is, and I would be checking the family in on a Sunday at 1, but prior to that, the family would leave before 10. I would spend every Sunday, literally 9:15, 9:30, 9:45, meeting little kids with little envelopes that did lemonade stands.
Oh my God!
And this wasn't something that we asked. It was like they were just doing it. So Rockland Trust came to me and asked that same question, how can we help, you know, besides just writing you a check, you know? And I said, I told them how I spent every Sunday. And I said, if you got behind us with, you know, these lemonade stands that these kids are doing, this could get really big. And it was interesting. At first, they were like, okay, we're going to get the Falmouth branch. We're all excited. And I'm like, well, I was thinking way bigger than that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, we got Mashpee jumped on board. And then I just told someone else, and next thing you know, the whole Cape got on board. So that was like
amazing.
The first year. And all these kids probably raised like 20,000 almost.
Wow.
Which is
wow.
amazing.
In 1 year.
Yeah. And then last year they got involved and got all the branches involved. It was like 112.
Wow.
So raised $40,000+ with the lemonade stands last year. You know, so those are a lemonade stand. I mean, we've had people do 5,000, 6,000. There was one that just happened. They did $12,000 at a lemonade stand. So, yeah, you can't write a check maybe, but you can set up outside and it's easy.
Yeah.
And Rockland Trust, they give the kids the whole lemonade stand kit. We have a bank account set up, so it's a win-win thing all around. So these kids get to go and get their kits, and then they get to go bring the money back and make a deposit, you know, into our
account. That's awesome. And then it teaches them life skills, too. That's incredible.
Yeah, so it's like, so that's our greatest need is always on that side, just so we can keep opening the door every Sunday. We can provide this opportunity, turn the lights on, all that stuff. And then on, like, so that's a hands-on type of thing, too, where you can get involved. Some people like to write a check, but they also want to help.
Yeah.
So our other thing is our, I call it our Sunday volunteer hospitality cleaning teams. Mm-hmm. And we have the most amazing people that come every Sunday and give up their time, and they help us clean the house. And that's just monumental for us, because if we had to pay that cleaning bill all the time, it would be huge, you know, and we'd be, you know, potentially down the road, you have trouble, like if you have to keep paying all those types of things. So,
and cleaning must be really important given
it's huge. Yeah. On. So we make sure, like, we like to have 10 to 12 people if we can show up. In the beginning, it was tough because I didn't know anybody. So it was, somebody told us they were going to, they told me they were going to clean the house. They were impacted by cancer, da-da-da-da.
Wow.
They lasted about 3 weeks. They were always going to be there for me.
Mm.
They lasted like 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's tough.
And they couldn't do it. And I was like, I remember this one mom that I had met previously, and I walked into the house, and I'm like, oh my God, this house is spotless. She did it herself.
Wow.
So it was a Friday, and I called her, and I said, is there any way you can help me? Because I was by myself.
Yeah.
You know? And she's like, yeah. She came Sunday, and she and I would clean the whole house, you know, and it's like, it's a lot, but she's a machine, you know.
Wow.
And she would drive 45 minutes to do
it. Oh, my goodness.
And so that cleaning thing, we have people right now that drive. We have some former families that come in and help us, but most people are just regular people that come there and help us clean, and it's a big thing. And I always tell people on the phone, because they get let down. They call you. It's like, oh, what do you need? They're like, you know, you tell them you need money, and then, well, you can help us clean. And like, I'm like, if you come there on a Sunday, you realize that it's happy land.
Yeah, okay? I can imagine that.
There's no heavy lifting. You know, here and there we have there's a little bit more to do, but you meet wonderful people, and they're, if you want to feel good, I always tell people, I'm like, I don't do drugs or anything, but I said, people are like, how can you go there every Sunday? I'm like, you should go there once on a Sunday, then you'll never ask me that question ever again. You want to feel good?
Mm.
Go there and meet wonderful people, you know, and of all walks of life. I tell people when they're walking around in some of these houses, I said, these people that are in here have donated a lot of money to us. And they're like, really? And I go, yeah, they're all volunteers. And they're like, these are all volunteers? I said, yeah. And I could be walking around with potential donors or whatever. And I said, yes. But these people want to be connected to what they're giving to.
Of course.
And that's part of that feel good. Hey, how can I help? So there's lots of ways that you can get involved that way. And you can get involved with different events that people do. I post all the events all the time, so we have them right on the website. So there was so many events that went on during the summer. It was amazing.
Mm.
Golf tournaments after golf tournaments that
wow.
are helping us. And that's really what is sustaining this whole thing. We get involved with the Falmouth Road Race, and we've raised, and it's not us again, it's people that are fundraising for Tommy's Place, but we're raising upwards of $200,000 now out of the road race. And we started off with like 10 little runners, you know, and now we have 75, you know.
Incredible.
So it's growing. But yeah, so that you can join our road race team. And
there's a lot of runners in Falmouth.
A lot of runners.
I'll say that.
Yeah. We keep trying to build on that, because that's a really helpful one for us for our sustainability purposes. And that's something that people, you know, people can walk or run or walk run or whatever they do to make it through mm-hmm. the 7 miles. And
mm-hmm.
and that's a big thing for us. So so those are the things. I mean, helping us financially is a big thing, but there's many ways to segue into what that means, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Our office on Main Street is right next to the run house, where a lot of the runners for the road race go to get their sneakers. So just a plug for people who are aware of that.
Yes.
Tim, you know, I actually learned about Tommy's Place by walking my sister's dog on Main Street in Falmouth, and a lady was walking her dog, and I said, oh, you know, what are you up to? And she literally was saying, I'm going to go volunteer for Tommy's Place.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if she had a shirt on, if that's why I asked or something like that, but
I didn't know about Tommy's Place until then. And she was so passionate about it and excited to tell me about it.
Yeah.
And it was so genuine. And I think when, you know, a leader of an organization or someone who has the dream is genuine, it really rubs off on other people. Mm. When you genuinely care about what you're doing, you believe in it. And what a testament to, you know, the culture that you build around, that we're going to, you know, actually help people. And, you know, I can't, you know, the more and more I hear people who have been quote unquote successful be interviewed, now that there's so many podcasts out there and, you know, people who are celebrities or have made a lot of money or run businesses, I feel like there's always this theme, and maybe it's biased about, you know, what I'm hearing, but in terms of the sample size of what I'm hearing, but I definitely hear a theme of people just feeling like it doesn't feel fulfilling now that I made all this money or became successful or become so popular, that they're looking for some deeper meaning in life.
I heard, it was Will Smith. I heard him say something that having a lot of money is actually difficult.
Mm.
He says when you can have all you want and anything that you want, it's really, life is difficult. Mm. And people will look at that and scratch their heads, but I, you know, when I say it to them, I'm like, I go, step back from that. If you can wake up today and have anything you want, what are you going to do? Answer that question.
Yeah, help a lot of people. Yeah.
People like, I know what I would do, but yeah. I mean, it's not, it's, that's not an easy thing to be, to get up and be motivated every single day. So what are you going to do? So like, that's when it's important to look outside yourself, if you ask me, you know.
Yeah.
I can go buy any car I want. I can buy a plane. I can buy another plane. I can buy 10 more houses. So I think that's why people probably go through depression and everything else, because they can have everything they want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they don't know how to look outside of themselves. I always say to people, like, it's a massive struggle to do what, you know, to do Tommy's Place. And I said, you know, if Taylor Swift or Will Smith or anybody that has lots of money, if they knew how little this would take so that we could, all right, look, we need, you know, we have 150 names on our waiting list right now.
Mm.
We just lost another kid. We've lost 32 kids that were on our waiting list or had stayed with us, right? These are real kids. I'm like, 32 kids? Like, who's, I wasn't prepared for that.
No.
Meeting these little kids, and then, you know, 3 weeks later, they're gone. I'm like, well, how is that? How is that even possible? Mm. This little kid just walked into the house, and they're perfectly fine in my eyes, but they're not, you know, and it's...
And it wouldn't take that much, like you're saying, you know, because you simplified the process.
The real estate part of it's, you know, we need this type of house, but we need this type of backing. That's my biggest thing that holds me back, is the financial part of it, you know. So we're managing two houses right now, but you know, if somebody, like, you see that they don't know what to do with their money, that's a prime example, as a guy like that, you know. All these different celebrities, and the real impact, touchable, tangible, go over there and touch it. Like, you know, you just bought a $200 million house, Beyonce, and, you know, whatever, right? And it's like, step back from yourself, okay? It's like, great, that's awesome that you have that means to do that. Yeah. But do you realize, like, the impact that you could have?
And it wouldn't take that much. Like, I think that's a really important point, because of the way that you do this, yeah. Like,
yeah, because
out of how much they have, it wouldn't take that much.
It's not much. It's like, there should be one of these in every state, you know, because I look at cancer as being something that's local.
It could impact anybody.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how much you have.
Doesn't matter. And it's like...
all walks of life.
Yeah, and you shouldn't have to go to Disney World to get a Disney World experience.
Mm.
And Tim, I just want to, you know, emphasize this, that what you're bringing to people or giving them the opportunity is one of the most fundamental aspects of being human, which is connection. And I love that that is what seems to be the driving force of this, not only for the families, but for the siblings, the parent, the community, their peers, their extended family, and the volunteers, the people who are donating, everything about this is about connection.
Yes.
And I think people are craving that in life, you know, especially in the digital world we live in now. There's nothing more special than that. I think it's a shining example of how important it is for people
Yeah, I think we've had, it's interesting because we've had kids who have reached out and asked, can I help? You know, and some of them have to help because of school type of things and they need put hours in and things like that. But to watch the impact that it has on them, wow, it's like they'll come and they'll say, well, I have to do a certain amount of hours. And then after they're there for like 2 weeks, they'll come back and say, I'm already finished. I'm going to finish my things next week, but can I keep coming back?
Aww.
And I'm just get blown away. And then because they're walking into this environment where they're embraced by all of these people that are in there helping, and they can't wait to see you walk through the door.
Yeah.
Next Sunday. They're so excited to see you.
Yeah.
You know? And because I, you know, lots of these people are probably 50 plus that are in there helping us. And next thing you know, there's a 16-year-old girl in there making beds, doing this, cleaning this, doing that. And to watch the way it's impacts some of these younger, this younger crowd and the fact that they want to come back, you know, that's, again, I couldn't write any of this anywhere and say this is going to happen. So to watch it happen organically, it's pretty amazing to watch. Just like you just said, it's this whole thing that's been that's happened.
Yeah,
I'm so grateful when I step back and I look at it because the nonprofit world is just, I've never done something so difficult in my life. You know, we're not selling anything. Mm-hmm. We're not renting rooms.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have this revenue stream, other than people that are helping us, and they recognize that we need to help them, you know, so that, you know, they watch these families walk around the streets of Falmouth and Centerville, and they're connected to these families, you know, because, hey, this is who in a million years would say, like Falmouth's going to be proud to have Tommy's Place there?
We would. And the revenue is in love.
Yeah.
And it's a really, really beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And I will say, you know, Jerry and I feel really blessed to wake up every day and do the work we do. It really feels like a passion and a purpose. And the work you are doing it transcends, like, everything. You know, it's easy, like you said, to focus on the negative and the darkness and the sadness.
Yes.
And a lot of people do. Because sometimes it's difficult to move away and move past that.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
But the things that you are doing, not just for the families who come through the door, but for the communities, for those who are hopefully going to hear this podcast episode and be inspired by a dream that kind of came from just one kindness that someone lent you and offered, which has trickled into so many other lives, so many other families, so many other people. And, you know, going through COVID, I always said, you know, I hope that this is the great unifier. As awful as this is, I hope we can all come out of this just feeling more grateful.
Yes.
For having come out of such a dark, heavy moment in time in history. And I know that Tommy's Place didn't start during COVID. It was intended to begin sooner. But, you know, if we can think from that time point on, I hope that we can all just appreciate and embrace this idea of gratitude and community and giving back that you really epitomize. And I know this is not your thing to go out publicly and share all of this. And again,
someone said to me, you're going where?
Well, we'll continue this conversation.
You're like, you don't go anywhere.
Like, that means a lot to us.
It means so, so much. Yeah. And we hope that, you know, those who listen will contribute back and will, if not just to Tommy's Place, to something else that means a lot to you, that you can see can come to life. And if that could be an inspiration of your story and to keep Tommy's Place going, you know, we're glad to be some piece of that puzzle.
You're definitely, it's everybody's a conduit to something else or someone else. And, you know, hopefully somebody that's listening out there, you know, whether they have the means or this desire, or maybe they know somebody else that might, and they just share. That's all we're all doing.
That's all it is.
That's all we're doing is we're just sharing, you know, and that's how it all happens.
Yeah.
And it's like, I had a sponsor in one of the rooms. They actually sponsored three rooms in the house in Falmouth, and the woman had a little tattoo that said NMO, and it's, and I'm like, what is that? And she explained, it's, it says not my own. So it's like everything that we have is ours to give to others and share. And that's right in the living room in Falmouth. There's three big letters on the wall, NMO, and then there's a little sign that, that explains where that came from. And her pastor, of all people, said that to her, said that in a in his sermon, and he didn't even know, like, when he said it, because she, she's like, she showed it to him. He's like, oh, look, and she was all excited to show it to him, and he didn't even realize
he
said it. And so,
I don't know.
It's like, so you never know who this story will resonate with. Some people just, they get excited by cats and dogs and, you know, whatever else it is. And kids with cancer, it's just not going to ring the bell, you know. And I get it. And that's, everybody has their thing. And so you never know who's listening, or you never know who you're talking to that... it might not be them, and it might not be yourself. It's like, I don't, that doesn't do anything for me, but you know somebody that would think, wow, I had no idea this exists. It still happens in Falmouth. We've been there, and we're coming up on 7 years, you know what I mean? And there's people that can live across the street and don't know it's there because they're just, they're in their own world, you know, and they don't know. And that's really hard in this world, too, because unless you're, and not everybody's on Facebook, people are all over the place, you know, and it's like there's people that are in the newspaper. But unless there's some other compelling story to get in the newspaper and you get bumped all the time, you know, even we were supposed to be on the different news stations, we get bumped all the time for tragedy. They'd rather talk about tragedy than talk about a good story. Talk about frustrating, you know, so that's... So you just, you can't plan on, you, you can't plan on any of this stuff. And, you know, the word of mouth thing is really what keeps us going. And the people telling their stories, we ask them to share, and they share stories and photos with us. And it, that's a big thing because I can say a million times, we close that door. We have no idea what goes on behind that door when we close that door. No idea. And what it means to somebody. It means, you know, different things to everyone. And unless you're in that that world that those families are in, you don't know. We don't know. I have no clue. Like, I just guess, you know. I just guessed that people would like to have this opportunity to get away from their life, you know, and go somewhere fun. And when that door closes, it's like, you know, all hell can break loose. When I walk those kids around in the house, I'm like, their parents are like, their kids will like get near the beds, and I'm like, get up there. They're like, what? They're like, what? I'm like, jump on the bed. And the parents are like, no, no. I'm like, I said, yeah. Well, and I'm like, there's 10 more beds to jump on. They're like, so everyone, they jump all over the beds, you know. It's not a museum. You know, it's Disney World, you know, and people have said it, some of the moms, it's like Disney World without the rides. And and we've had people go to Disney before and or after, and they will, and who, now in a million years would ever thought that someone say Tommy's Place is better than Disney World. And it happens all the time. I think it's because they can bring whoever they want with them too, you know what I mean? And that's a different experience when you're doing that. You're not standing in long lines. You're not just going on a quick ride. You're able to, like,
it's
be
more
around.
Lasting.
There's a beautiful quote by Dave Matthews Band, one of his songs that says, turns out not where, but who you're with that really matters.
Well, I'm going to hold the image of the kids jumping on the beds in my mind for a while now. And I think that's a great to kind of wrap up and just, you know, bless the doctors that are helping to treat these children and supporting the families and these brave, courageous children who are undergoing treatment, and for you and for the community and the volunteers and everybody that supports Tommy's Place and supports these families. So grateful. I could cry right now thinking about it, but I'm going to hold on to that image of the children jumping on the beds and just enjoying themselves, because even for that one moment, and I think all of us, whether we're experiencing tragedy or difficulty or not, we need to hold on and appreciate these small moments of joy, because it is easy to focus on the darkness, but yes. I hope we can always find an opportunity to see the light.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, Tim, for coming and joining us.
Thank you
and
guys
sharing
for
your story.
Me.
My goodness.
Thank you for I could talk about this, you know.
Oh, we could do
24/7, so it's all good. You know, it's fun stuff to talk about. And I appreciate you guys recognizing the need that we have of sharing what Tommy's Place is all about. So I appreciate you guys having me here today.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you, Tim.
Thanks.
Thanks for tuning in to the Read Connected podcast. Please remember that this is a podcast intended to educate and share ideas, but it is not a substitute for professional care that may be beneficial to you at different points of your life. If you are in need of support, please contact your primary care physician, local hospital, educational institution, or support staff at your place of employment to seek out referrals for what may be most helpful for you. Ideas shared here have been shaped by many years of training, incredible mentors, research, theory, evidence-based practices, and our work with individuals over the years, but it's not intended to represent opinions of those we work with or who we are affiliated with. The Reconnected podcast is hosted by siblings Alexis Reed and Dr. Gerald Reed. Original music is written and recorded by Gerald Reed. Editing and recording was done by Cybersound Studios. If you want to follow along on this journey with us, the Reconnected podcast will be releasing new episodes every 2 weeks each season. So please subscribe for updates and notifications. Feel free to also follow us on Instagram at ReadConnectedPodcast. That's ReadConnectEdPodcast, and Twitter at ReadConnectEd. We are grateful for you joining us and look forward to future episodes. In the meanwhile, be curious, be open, and be well.